Welcome to Inch Your Break. Hi, I'm Jonathan Mertz, and we have been working tirelessly behind the scenes to get you new episodes of Inch Your Break. Of course, you've been hearing Bubba and you've been hearing McGripe, but new episodes of Inch Your Break are on the way. Well, you're probably thinking, isn't this a new episode of Inch Your Break? Well, it kinda is. However, this is something I'm pulling from my archives, my personal archives, to be exact. This is the last interview that I did with Tim Wilson before he passed away in February of 2014. Now, Tim was one of the few comics that I got to know pretty decently and got to hang out with. He's one that can grab you around the neck and say, hey, come on, let's go somewhere. And you just go and have a great time. That's the type of guy he was. And coming up next, you're going to hear this archived interview here on It's Your Break. It's Your Break will return right after this.
Hey, it's Bubba, and I'm here with Mertz. Thank you for letting me take over for a second.
Not a problem, Bubba.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, Mertz, me and you have been sitting here for a minute, and our It's Your Break family has been growing. I said it once before, and thank you very much for doing this whole project and getting it starting running, and I'm kind of making it look good.
Yeah, whatever.
McGripe, how did you get in here?
Yeah, I was sitting right across from you the entire time. We all have microphones.
He's got a point.
Yeah, I do. That's why I do my McGripe's Gripe of the Moment. Also on the It's Your Break podcast. It's a lot better than Bubba's.
I don't know about that.
Oh, hold on. If we're going to get into who has the best podcast, it's obviously me.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever, Mertz.
What do you mean, whatever? Without me, you two would not exist.
You do have a point.
Yeah, I think so. You got us this time.
Anyways, check us out online at itchyourbreak.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at itchyourbreak. And also subscribe to our podcast. Just search It's Your Break inside of iTunes, and you'll see all of our podcast, whether it's Bubba's, McGripe's, or just the normal It's Your Break. And now, back to It's Your Break. Welcome back to It's Your Break. Hi, I'm Jonathan Mertz. And again, this is a bittersweet little bit of archived audio from the late, great Tim Wilson. Now, the interview you're about to hear is one that I did for several radio stations. And like I said earlier, it was the last interview I did with Tim Wilson before he passed away. So it's bittersweet. But here you go. Enjoy. Hey, in the studio with me. Yes, I did say in the studio with me. Tim Wilson, how's it going today?
I'm doing fine, Mertz. I just made the big drive over to Frankfurt. It's the first time I've ever been in this town, so...
Yeah, I've heard you talk in your accent, especially when you come to Louisville, talk about Frankfurt and the politics.
Well, I mean, anytime you're in Kentucky, I mean, you have to keep up with Ernie, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So,
I think after he flew over the White House, the federal government keeps up with Ernie.
I mean, but, you know, when you're in Kentucky, you have to think politics. I mean, you know, I don't know what's Halloween until I see Ann Northup's sign up at the Chevron in Louisville, which is not there this year, but... I've never have actually been to the capital of the state, so this is my first trip.
Now, you come to Kentucky quite often.
Yeah, I mean, I've been working in Louisville and Lexington for about 20 years. I mean, I do 4 weeks a year in Lexington and about five in Louisville. So, you know, they made me a colonel, so I'm qualified to cook chicken and manage Elvis.
You know, that's funny because I watched a thing on KFC on the History Channel one day, and he wasn't a real colonel. He was just a Kentucky colonel and stuck with that name, and that's how he, you know, went with that chicken stuff. And I was like, Colonel Sanders wasn't really an official military colonel?
No, he
colonel?
Wasn't really a military guy, neither was Colonel Tom Parker. He was actually from the Netherlands. He was a Dutch fella who was an illegal immigrant.
Huh.
That's the reason Elvis never could ever go play in Europe, because Tom Parker wouldn't be able to come back.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So you learn stuff at my show, Mertz.
Now you do have a college education.
Well, I guess so. I mean, if C's and D's in your major qualifies as a college education. But I was actually an English major at Presbyterian College in beautiful Clinton, South Carolina. 1983, I think, is when I graduated. They threw me out for 6 months, but I made that up. So
that's pretty interesting. Interesting.
I'm qualified to come to Frankfurt and teach grammar. That shows you the sick society that we're living in.
You know what? You fit right in, though.
I feel more comfortable in Kentucky than I ever did in Georgia. I mean, I spent a long time in Georgia, and people in Georgia are just kind of hard to get along with. Kentucky people are nice people.
Really?
As long as you're not in the middle of some sort of football or basketball battle.
One great thing came out of Georgia, though, Coca-Cola.
Yeah, Coca-Cola. Actually, my hometown, Columbus, Georgia, we claim it because John Pemberton was a pharmacist down there in the 1800s. Or I think it was 1886 when Coca-Cola was invented, but Pemberton was down there in 84, something like that. So we always say he was actually putting it together in a little drugstore down in Columbus.
That's
so we claim it. And then the Woodruffs, of course, took it to Atlanta and turned it into what it is today. So
that's pretty
I always
cool.
say, you know, Coca-Cola, they started out putting cocaine in the Coca-Cola, which is why they started putting straws in the top of the bottle.
I never got over the fact that people put peanuts in their Coke.
I don't know if they do that in Kentucky or not.
Not very often.
It turns it into a pretty salty Coke. But, growing up, you know, old men do that. They kind of cup their hand around the top and pour Tom's peanuts down in there. Tom's were always the best because they were smaller than, like, Lance or something.
Uh-huh.
Fit down in there and just sort of save time, I guess. But, peanuts and a Coke. That's hadn't seen that in a while.
Me neither. We'll come back with Tim Wilson here in just a few moments. All right, back in the studio again with Tim Wilson, and he's got the guitar out now.
Yeah, I'll play you a little thing, a little immigration song. He tried to paddle to San Diego, and a wave took him out to sea. And he washed up on the beach at Waikiki. He's the only illegal Mexican in Honolulu. He's only been here 20 minutes and found him a roofing job to do. They don't know if they're gonna run him off or if they're gonna let him stay. But it's looking good cause they're already calling him Don Jose. And then you go into Hawaii 5-0.
That's hilarious. Now, how do you come up with your songs?
Get out in a truck and drive and hope something comes out of a cloud and hits you.
That's hilarious.
Pretty much. I mean, I stay home and with my wife and watch TV and holler at the television set. That's where I come up with most of my stand-up stuff. And songs just kind of come out of a frequency up in the air. I don't know.
Now, a great thing to probably make a song over now. I don't know if you saw this, but Kid Rock fighting in the Waffle House.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife showed me that on Yahoo News the other day, which, gives him a little, I guess it makes him an official hick hop person or whatever it is he calls himself.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I know Cowboy Troy is kind of trying to coin that term, hick hop.
Yeah, well, it's one thing to run around, you know, claiming to be a Lynyrd Skynyrd fan and, you know, married to Pamela Anderson and all that kind of stuff, but you got to get in a good fight at the Waffle House to qualify. I have a good friend of mine's a musician, was in a band called the Atlanta Rhythm Section back in the 70s, and the last time he saw Alan Collins from Lynyrd Skynyrd, it was... I think they got drunk and Alan wound up in the flower bed of, I believe, the same Waffle House that Kid Rock was in the other day when he got in that fight. Cause I think he was in DeKalb County, but think about, you know, Waffle House in Atlanta. There's like 189 of them in Atlanta.
Wow.
There's a place in Roswell, Georgia, where you can actually stand at a Waffle House and look out across the exit there and see another Waffle House standing in the parking lot of a Waffle House. So that's headquarters for Waffle House. So, you know, God bless Kid Rock. You know, he could have gotten a fight at a waffle steak and ruined it.
I remember, Waffle House is one of my places to go eat late at night. And I think everybody. But I remember a story my dad used to tell me about how he went through several of these Waffle Houses here in Kentucky. And, you know, B.B. King would roll into one, you know, way back in the early 70s. Or George Jones come rolling in one late at night, you know. And it's very interesting how many musicians actually just, that's a place to go, you know.
Well, a lot of times it's the only place that's open,
yeah.
You know. I mean, I went in a Waffle House once in Nashville. I'd done the Ralph Emery show. And, you know, they put makeup and everything on you on TV. So I finished the show, and I'm headed back to Atlanta, and I stopped at a Waffle House, and I forgot I had all that makeup on. And I told them, yeah, I'm the guy driving the Revlon rig out there.
That's hilarious.
But one of my favorite stories was there's a place called Huddle House, which they have them in Lexington. I don't know if they do in Frankfort. But Huddle House, I always say, hey, you're not quite good enough to be at Waffle House. You're at Huddle House. But a lady walked up to me there. She was waiting tables and, you know, what y'all want to eat? And I said, well, I think I'll have eggs. She goes, well, you want regular eggs or egg substitute? I said, well, I'll try something about egg substitute. She goes, well, how you want that cooked? And I said, boiled? I want to see what kind of shell this comes in.
No joke. No joke. We'll come back with Tim Wilson in just a few moments. Back in the studio again with Tim Wilson, having a good time, sitting back, telling some stories. What'd you do? I guess growing up, you grew up in Georgia, right?
I sure did. I grew up in the entertainment capital of the world, Columbus, Georgia.
Now, did you ever, what shenanigans did you get into as a youngster? Because I got in quite a few of them myself.
Well, I was a pretty good kid. I mean, my father was a school teacher and assistant principal of a junior high school, and my father knew everybody, so I really couldn't do anything wrong. I guess the closest I ever came to the law was the time I took a scuppernong and knocked out the window of a ice cream truck who was passing us. And, you know, I was just talking to a friend of mine, throwing these things. And apparently I busted out an ice cream truck window. And we had to go, you know, talk to the cops, and our parents had to come over and this and that, la-da-da-da-da. And I actually talked our way out of it. I knew I'd done it, but I was a good enough lawyer at 16 to you know, create some reasonable doubt. So the guy ended up giving us ice cream. We didn't have to pay nothing. So.
That's cool. You know,
drunk at the drive-in, did quite a bit of that. Hung out in a lot of strip joints when I was about 16. So, I lied a lot when I was 16.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I think one of the funniest things that I ever did, we used to build those potato guns.
Oh, man.
We used to go out in the fields out here.
Well, I wish we'd have had a potato gun. I didn't even know those things existed till I was in comedy. And, you know, I remember somewhere in Fort Wayne, Indiana, there was a guy out behind a show we were about to do. One of the Grodies had a potato gun. And, man, we sat and shot that thing for about 2 hours. It was great.
I'll tell you what could cause some damage is if you load one of those things with an acorn when it's still got that green shell around it.
Yeah.
And, man, you shoot a building. Bow! You hear it, sucker. We had a dent inside of us building. It was absolutely amazing.
And you had the grill lighter in it? Is that what it was?
Yeah, oh yeah. We had the light.
The hairspray?
The hairspray and the grill lighter. Boom! You're launching that thing about a football field length. But one of the things was we used to go to this festival down in Drennan, and we would shoot that thing off at night. And, man, it would scare the dickens out of people. They're like, what the heck is going on here? And they finally, when people finally found out what it was, they're like, let me shoot it, let me shoot it.
Let me
and we're shooting
it
into the creek, you know. Boom.
That's the way we did. I mean, with this roadie, I mean, we went through like a bushel of potatoes.
Oh, yeah. A 50-pound bag could go easy.
Yeah.
Real easy. What's probably your most requested song?
Well, nowadays, it's one that I can't play. It's called But I Could Be Wrong. It's a little too and dirty.
I happen to see that on YouTube.
Here's one of my bigger ones. Jeff Gordon's gay. Jeff Gordon's gay. At least that's what them ornery Earnhardt fans always say. They swear he's using Vaseline on the 24 Chevrolet. Jeff Gordon's gay. He must be gay.
Now, you've had quite a few NASCAR hits.
Well, I had that one. I had one called
Dale Darrell.
She named me Dale Darrell, Watcher, Richard Petty, Rusty, Awesome Bill, Irvin Gordon, Earnhardt Smith, Johnson Jr. I guess you could say Mama was a NASCAR fan. I was born in Talladega up in the stands. The fans all cheered the second I arrived. The loudspeaker said the boy's born to drive. We didn't have money for a pacifier, so I sucked on the valve off a Goodyear tire. A 7-pound, 8-ounce son of the South, born with a taste for racing in my mouth. She named me Dale Darrell, Waltrip, Richard Petty, Rusty, Awesome Bill, Irvin Gordon, Earnhardt Smith, Johnson Jr. That was one of my bigger ones.
Yeah. That's the only one I could actually remember that went through all the way through. And
had one called I Ain't Gonna Take Your Family Back to Talladega Again, which was about a family that'd show up, mess up a race, throwing roof and nails and turn number three and stuff.
And then I remember also the Southern Baptist Bar and Grill.
Yeah, First Baptist Bar and Grill was wrote that in Jellicoe, Tennessee, and they're around at the First Baptist Bar and Grill. It's the only church in the Bible Belt that smells like a whiskey still. When the sinners finish one more round, we'll have dinner on the ground and go inside and pray we don't get killed. Yeah, that was a pretty good size song. That's one of my more popular songs, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I happened to search your site the other day and noticed that it's now a Flash site, which is pretty cool. Because last time I was on there, it was not a Flash site.
I don't even know if I know what that is exactly.
Basically, it's a site that it's developed out of Adobe Flash.
Oh, okay. Because like Carrie does movie. It. I really don't have much to do with the site. I just tell her how much stuff costs.
Yeah. Yeah, and I noticed that you guys had the Church League softball shirts on there.
Yeah, we got those things. You can go to timwilsonamerica.com is the name of our site. It's got Church League softball fist fight t-shirts. I'll play you that one. Church League softball fist fight. Getting washed in the blood on a Tuesday night. What would Jesus do? Lord, he wouldn't do that. Knock hell out of the preacher with the softball bat. Anybody that's ever played Church League sports can relate to that. But we have our Church League softball fist fight shirts there. We got all our CDs, DVD called Live in Atlanta, and just a lot of different stuff. TimWilsonAmerica.com.
Back with Tim Wilson one last time here before I let him get down the road a little bit. But before I go on, Tim, there is a story that scared the heck out of me. Apparently in California, this teenager is in trouble out there. He's actually in Washington and is now heading to California. They got a $500,000 bail for this guy. He is a teen hacker who hacked into a California police department's computer system and dispatched SWAT to an innocent family's home.
And how old is this kid?
19.
He's 19 years old.
Hacked in
the sent a SWAT team to just to somebody's house?
Just somebody's house. And basically, I guess the way their system is, they have it where it's triggered up. I used to work for KSP here in the state as a dispatcher myself, but we always had to get vocal authorization for everything we did. And I guess here, just quick click of the button, and it gets deployed.
Well, Mert, see, you have to understand, I'm living in 1977. I mean, the Lynyrd Skynyrd plane is still flying. I mean, I know absolutely nothing about computers. I don't really understand the details involved in hacking into a police computer. So I'm sure that's a impressive feat, but I really don't know much about it. So God bless the kid. They got a $500,000
bail on him.
Yeah, he's out on bail.
No,
they
issued a 500
for him or a reward for him. Or?
He's going to be arraigned next month. He's already been captured, but they set bail at $500,000.
Man,
so
his parents had to come up with a quick $50,000.
Yeah, yeah, because usually it's 10%, isn't it?
I'm sure it's his parents that got him out. Because anybody who's 19 is a computer hacker. You know, probably doesn't have a job. Plays a lot of Nintendo.
Absolutely. You know, I was listening to Family Reunion one day from you, and it's just kind of like when you have somebody or even the family members, heck, you can't remember half their names when you have family reunions like you talked about, but seems like everybody in that older generation just says that person or call,
call that girl over there. The funny thing about aunts is they can, it just depends on if they like you or not. They can take anything and make it good or bad. In other words, a guy could, marry their niece and buy her a $400,000 house. And if they like him, they'll go, boy, he got her a nice house over there. They got a real nice house. If they don't like him, well, he spent all that money on that house. they can take anything and go either way with it, you know. So you got to watch your aunts and uncles.
That's very, very true. Well, Tim, thanks for stopping by today, and you gave a little life to Frankfort.
Well, if it takes me to give life to the capital of Kentucky, we're in a sad state of affairs over here. So hopefully that governor's race will bring some life to this town.
Yeah, it's coming up in next week.
I think it's the 6th?
The 6th, I think, somewhere around there. It's actually 2 weeks away, so two Tuesdays away, I think, somewhere around there. I don't care. I don't really care.
Well, fine. Be a bad American, Mertz. Fine.
All right. Thank you, Tim, for stopping by.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview, but I have one more tidbit for you. Tim and I got to answer a phone call while he was in the studio with me. Wait till you hear how this went down.
Hello. We're having a debate at work. Who's singing the song When You Say Nothing at All?
Well, it's originally done by Keith Whitley. And then Allison Krauss covered it.
Right, but who are you playing right now?
I'm playing Keith Whitley.
Can I put you on speakerphone?
Keith Whitley, the third greatest country singer of all time. The third greatest country singer of all time, Keith Whitley.
Hold on 1 second.
All right. All right, are we on speakerphone yet?
We are, sir.
That was Randy Travis. You say nothing at all. That is not, I know Keith Whitley sings it, but that was Randy Travis.
Listen to the man.
No, it is definitely Keith Whitley. You can take it from Tim Wilson.
Well, it's Keith Whitley. Keith Whitley had the hit on that. And, I mean, you're arguing with the disc jockey who's actually playing the song.
Thank you, sir. I win.
Oh, my God. No.
Well, you say it best.
For you.
When you say nothing else.
Are you guys familiar with Tim Wilson?
Yeah.
And his comedy?
Yeah. Me and Tommy seen him at Comedy Off Broadway.
Well, thank you, madam.
Is this Tim?
Yes, ma'am. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm glad to know I'm talking to a lady who knows something about music. And her co-worker or boyfriend or whoever don't know anything about music.
What? He said my coworker didn't know anything about music.
This is the guy that thought Elvira was all fired up.
The memories that brings back is just amazing. Tim is missed, for sure. But there are other comics just as genuine. Kristen Key is one of them. And we've done an interview with her here on It's Your Break as well. But anyways, I hope you enjoyed that. I know I did.